Hello, I'm Robert Bound and you're listening to the Monocle Culture Show. On the programme this week, we're focusing on the new abstract photography show at Tate Modern in London called Shape of Light, 100 years of photography and abstract art. Photography is often considered a form of documentary. Joel Merowitz's and Bill Cunningham's taking to the streets to capture day-to-day life. War photographers, magazine reportage, even fashion photographers telling their version of the truth. Not to mention the zillions of Instagrammers and social media users who document their own lives for the pleasure, maybe, of other people. But is photography as an abstract art form overlooked? This new exhibition looks at the relationship between the real and not so real and how one influences the other. In a fairly chronological order, it includes images by some of the greats, Brassai, Moholy Nagy and Man Ray, as well as some of the newer artists propelling this medium into the future. So to take a snapshot of this show, I'm joined in the studio today by the writer and curator Francesca Gavin and founder of Black Box Projects, Kathleen Fox-Davies. They'll be giving us their thoughts on the exhibition as well as providing us with some further reading. Kathleen and Francesca, welcome to the programme. Lovely to have you in on this summeriest of days. Mm. We're not in black and white in this studio, are we?
No.
We're in full colour, the full glare of summer.
Technicolour.
Yeah, that's right. Okay, so let's take the bull by the horns and look at this photography, this abstract photography show head on, Kathleen. I'll start with you. What's in the show? What sort of period are we looking at? What kind of stuff is on the walls?
We're looking at 100 years. It is a big, big show.
Yeah.
So this is a huge, ambitious and academic exhibition that looks at photography really from around 1910 through to things that were created as early as last year and comparing it to what was happening in what we would consider more of a fine art medium of abstraction. So you've got Mondrian, you have Picasso, Georges Braque, you've got some of the greats in there alongside similar works using the same visual language in photography, to some successes, to some amazing discoveries, but also some of the relations are mildly tenuous. And
you see a wall, just a bit of wall text going, for some reason, ..
These both use lines and form.
So okay.
It was an amazing exhibition, and I cannot imagine the work and the thought process that went in to putting something of this size together. They pulled original works that hadn't been seen since the 1960 abstraction show that was at the MoMA that was incredibly groundbreaking and one of the first times that photography had been included in the bigger art world stage like that. And the museum has done an incredible job focusing on photography that normally is seen as a little bit less exciting, but they've made it so academic that I'm almost afraid they've alienated a huge group of museum goers that may have really taken something out of this.
That's an interesting criticism. We'll tackle that in a minute. I want to ask Francesca about this, I suppose, relationship between abstraction and photography, and we're probably talking about painting and photography and the relationship thereof. Who came first? I mean, this show makes an association that photography pushed painting into a different realm what is that relationship?
I mean, it's obviously a clear art historical trope that basically photography starts, let's say, the mid-19th century, and thus you get abstraction because you don't need to replicate reality. So realism, etc., disappears. You end up having the birth of experimental processes, people trying to deconstruct what light is, what space is, in different ways, art getting more poetic, getting less and less representative. That's a pretty established idea in art, and I actually think there's a lot of examples of why that works, why you can see that works. I don't know if this exhibition actually demonstrates that in the full way. I think there's been a few Tate shows recently that unfortunately have kind of had very broad examples of what they're stating, but the real sort of realization of their argument isn't necessarily coming through. I mean, it's almost a different exhibition in this case. I would have loved to have had less photography and more variety of medium, because you can totally see the relationship between constructivist photography and constructivist painting, Man Ray and surrealism in terms of photographic experimentation, and how that emerges in how people are approaching sculpture, etc. But I think how that manifests is a lot more subtle necessarily than someone saw a photograph and then we made an abstract painting.
And for the punter, there is, we should not disregard the title, The Shape of Light. There is a lot about the process of light on paper, the process of darkroom, the process of developing pictures without necessarily using a camera. So we're not necessarily talking about images of strange things shot through the lens of a camera. We're talking about photograms and different
know,
sorts of things.
All these amazing,
all these old,
old
school things that are obviously that are back, that have never gone out of fashion. But we're not looking. This isn't taking a picture of a surreal set of something. This is about process, right?
It is. It very, very much is. The exhibition is making the argument that photography doesn't have to be a representation of what was in front of the lens anymore.
Yeah.
And it's an argument that's been made over and over and over again. And part of me feels like we're well past this, but this is a medium and a genre that I've lived in for the past two decades. So I think that perhaps I'm not the one to go, we know this already, let's move on. because obviously the show, it was built for a greater audience, for the wider museum goer that might not have, you know, the sort of same familiar base with the foundations of photography. But the exhibition is making the argument that you no longer need a subject or an object. It can simply be light and how light has played on with these chemical processes on paper, sometimes without even a camera, sometimes without even a negative. It's just paper in a dark room with light, and that can be your subject and your object and your finished piece all in one. And so they've got some really beautiful examples, and even the Man Ray process pieces, where the Polaroids that he provided for MoMA, they requested an entire series of new work, and almost tongue-in-cheek, because it was Man Ray, he took a Polaroid camera, swung it around his studio, letting the shutter just take pictures, and that's what he submitted. So it was a little bit cheeky, but they were brilliant, and they were incredible, because it just showed this mind at work, thinking about different ways you could create. And obviously, Man Ray was one of the few artists in this show that was actually working across multiple disciplines.
I mean, his film work is exceptional.
It's amazing, but they also didn't focus on what was happening in his own practice and how he was actually interacting with Breton and Picasso.
Yeah.
And there was an actual conversation, an intellectual engagement happening there amongst this group of artists that were working at that time.
Yeah.
And they didn't really explore that. I thought that level could have been really, really interesting. But instead, it was a repetition of, here's another photogram, here's another light shining across paper that's interesting. They didn't go deep into some of these other issues.
I mean, for me, I think the main question is, why now? Why are we interested in abstraction now? And actually, like, I mean, there's been curators working around this in photographic sense, particularly Ken Miller, who's amazing, has been looking at a lot of contemporary work in Japan and Tokyo and New York for a number of years. For me, I think it's very much coming back to, I get the most excited by the contemporary work, particularly the Japanese work by Datsuke Yokata. Why now is very much to do how our relationship with photography has changed so much. It's so much broader. It is for a mass audience. We are all taking photographs on our phone.
So we mentioned Instagram and stuff in the introduction to this program, not glibly. I mean, there is obviously a great relevance. There are great contemporary artists, you know, the filter of which is Instagram as well. So there is, you're saying this is timely because of that.
Yeah, completely. We're so used to seeing, everyone's used to engaging with imagery in either a narrative or representational way. And this show, I think, is very much trying to remind people that photography has an entire history that's broadening out into a much more experimental, technical in some cases in this show, but also in a much more experimental and poetic, let's say, concept of what an abstract image can be or what an image can be.
Okay, there's food for thought here. We'll talk about we'll crit the show a little bit more and about the flow of it and some of the stuff and some of the age, maybe the technicality of some of the presentation of some of the artworks. But Holly and I went down to Tate Modern last week and spoke to Simon Baker, Senior Curator of Photography at the Tate. And we talked about photography as documentation versus photography as art.
The question of objectivity and subjectivity is very interesting. I think in the 20s, there was a school of thought around photography was that its job was to describe as precisely and as perfectly as possible what we saw, or what the lens saw, if you like. But there was a counter movement in the 40s particularly, and through into the 50s, that it could be very, very poetic, and that it could be a poetic means of expressing the response to a particular shape or a particular natural phenomenon. And you have artists like Minor White who give these beautiful titles to his works, like The Sound of One Hand Clapping, it coming from poetry. You have Otto Steinert, who talks about subjective photography being that photography is inherently subjective and it's the best way of reflecting and representing one's emotions because it's so direct and it shows exactly how we see the world. And I think many people today in their daily life, the way they use photographic images in Instagram and so on, they're used to using photography to express themselves, you know, as a means of expression. So that probably doesn't come as that much of a surprise anymore.
Yeah, because I suppose there was a lot of the idea of documentary, of realism, and I suppose it's a kind of golden age of the news magazine and stuff, where people have a very, far from a two-dimensional idea of photography, but an idea that it was something that would tell you about how people the other side of the world lived, or about conflict, or about all these things. This is very much more about shape and form. It doesn't skate over that, but I suppose its intention never was to include that.
There's one thing that you might imagine, that there's going to be a lot of, because it's a show about abstraction, that there'll be a lot of things made in studios, and indeed there are, but there's also a lot of photographs of the world around us, and from the subjective photography in the 1950s and 60s onwards, people like Harry Callahan and Aaron Siskind, I mean, Siskind's photographs of like peeling cracked paint, yeah, which are probably some kind of rather crappy shed, yeah, somewhere in New England or wherever it was. The idea that you might notice something in the world that looks like a beautiful artwork, something in the world around us, I think that's a very powerful message, and it goes right through to today. And some of the last works in the show are Anthony Cairn's photographs of London, predominantly at night with very, very little light, and then he's processed them in a really unusual way and loaded them onto these Kindle screens that are then frozen. And so, again, we see very, very ordinary things. He is actually just walking around London at night and transforming those things that we see, you and I see every day. We don't see it in the same way that he does. And it's very clear that an artist, given a very ordinary subject, can produce something really extraordinary.
Simon Begg, whose show it was at Tate Modern. I kind of wanted to know a bit more about process. We were talking about, for me anyway, some kind of quite highfalutin process. Because as I say, not all of this stuff involves camera, involves paper, it involves, as you say, just the play of light. You had some criticisms of the show, Kathleen. Where was it good and where was it not so good for you, this one?
The concept of the entire exhibition is incredible. What was amassed to have on the wall and show the public was a privilege and a treat to be able to view. But I feel like the point was needlessly broken down into tiny subsections that ended up becoming mildly repetitive. They were beautiful.
They're too specific. Maybe.
They're almost too specific. Obviously, I'm a photo nerd, so this is the stuff that really excites me. And by room 8, you're sort of going cross-eyed.
Yeah.
Because there's so much material to take in that it's almost overwhelming.
It's just 300 works, I
think,
or
something. Yeah, it's a show that you really need to take in pieces, which if you've got the time and a Tate membership, great. It's on until October. So go back again and again and again, because I know that going through that exhibition in the hour and a half that I spent there, I missed, I would say, a good third of it, just because you kind of glaze over at one point. You get to the Aaron Siskind room, which I think is like room 8 or 9, and these are beautiful pieces, a real treat to stand in front of. But you've just been through 7 other rooms of pure black and white abstraction that are also incredible, hung floor to ceiling.
Yeah.
And once you've taken all of that in, you do sort of go to overload. And it's not a technical art term. It's just, I think it could have been condensed a little bit. It's almost too overreaching, which is a shame to say, because it's a treat to have a wonderfully researched academic exhibition presented to us. The inclusion of color and the splash of color at the end was a nice relief, but at the same time, I questioned the choices of the contemporary artists they've included. There was a real focus on use of new technologies rather than what was happening before, which was going back to basics and sort of reinventing the wheel, which is what was happening all the way through in this abstraction. There weren't any new technologies. No one was coming out with a new chemical that was changing the way we think about photography.
And people still working with those older forms of experimentation in
That's
terms
very
of how you're
right
playing
now.
Around. Exactly. Yeah. So I felt like that was a bit tacked on.
A missed opportunity to create a conversation that went further than the museum doors and out into what the galleries are doing here in London and Paris and New York, and focus on, you know, maybe artists that will never have their names in the Tate but are working in that process method that Man Ray was, that Kertész was, that speaks to the abstraction and the surrealism and, you know, the breakdown of form that the show was focusing on.
Yeah, there's some wonderful stuff in there. Yeah, the brass eye. I mean, I love those Bill Brandt. We've seen them a million times before, but that's kind of those wonderful things in the Wall of Ed Rocher, the parking lots,
exactly,
which seemed like the perfect thing of the reality of what a photograph is. It's a picture of something, but making it abstract by the repetition of it, by the patterns that you make. Just these impossible shots shot from the belly of an aeroplane,
yes,
I guess.
Or just looking at something in a completely different way.
Yeah.
I mean, the wonderful thing about this show is that oftentimes the general public thinks of photography that was happening in the 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s, particularly Europe and both America, as very representational, as very specific to fashion, to documentary, to AP news publications, yeah, to advertisement. And so it was really wonderful to see the William Kleins, the Alfred Stieglitz, the Paul Strands, the artists that are known mainly for their quite literal work.
Yeah.
So William Klein would have been fashion and street photography, and Stieglitz was photographing immigrants coming off of, yeah, Ellis Island, and that's what people knew them for. So it was nice to turn it on its head and saying, but this was also happening.
Yeah. We're going to hear from one of the artists in the show. We were talking about process, and we were talking about photograms and going outside the realm of the little black box of the camera itself. There's work that uses photographic paper and a darkroom and light, or a lack of it, the raw materials of photography. And one such artist featured in the Tate Show is Barbara Keston.
Well, actually, I was a painter, and I came from a background of manipulating paint and oil and on canvas. And when I first discovered photography, I was actually after a painting technique, somehow to incorporate photographs or photography in my image making as a painter. So one of the earliest types of photography are these photograms, and cyanotype, which is a process that is a painterly one. So I did not leave my comfort zone. I just painted emulsion on paper. And I never have really studied photography. So my background comes from a manipulative, experimental place, not to do with photography, but to do with painting.
So the equipment of photography, the camera itself and the darkroom, the kind of raw materials of it as such, were for you kind of just like an unfamiliar form of oil paint, for example, or certainly a way in which you could mess with that medium?
Well, these, of course, are camera-less. None of these require a camera. And it's just the simplicity of putting an object down on a light-sensitive material, which actually Moholy Nagy felt that the photogram was the closest or fastest way to abstraction. And since my imagery as a painter was abstract, and I discovered Moholy, that's how I ended up trying to make photograms or making photograms. And it extended from these blue and white ones as the earliest pieces, these are my first works in photography, to this four-panel painting piece. So it's a merging of the two media for me.
Yeah, and this four-panel painting that's to our left here is exactly that. It's an amalgamation of two forms that had rarely been seen together or fused together. There's an artist in their studio. What happens? Is this experimenting until you like the form, until you like the end result? Or had you done a lot of tests to arrive at such an unusual melange of two things?
The idea of photography for me is a process. Even now, my work is a studio process in which I am really bodily involved in making large-scale sculptural setups. And in these four panels, it was a very physical thing. They're large. I had to lay it down on the floor. I had to construct it around the stretchers. So there's a whole sense of performance and functioning on a one-to-one scale that doesn't always come from behind a camera lens. That's probably what appeals to me.
Yeah.
But I don't really know exactly what's going to happen until I turn the light on and I move it around and I see what happens in the configuration of the image. So it's very much an intuitive process with pre-planning that can go astray, but you have to be aware that sometimes that's really great.
And that was Barbara Keston, whose work is on show at the Tate as part of Shape of Light, 100 Years of Photography and Abstract Art. We'll have a little tiny word on that, possibly right at the end of the programme. Francesca, I'm going to turn to you. Mm. This sort of reminded you of, well, we were talking abstraction, show at Victoria Miro, various spaces, well, her two spaces.
Yes, double space.
In double space.
Mayfair and Wharf Road.
Yeah.
And this is an exhibition called Surface Work, which is basically focusing on female abstract painters. So huge amount of work, 50 artists, I think, included. Again, another very dense group show, which is always quite hot in the summer. Everyone likes a densely packed group show in the summer. and the way
it's strange that. I thought people want a little bit of light and airiness.
Yeah,
but no.
And it's also, it's less sort of fair focused and a little bit more kind of roomier. I don't know, it's just a natural thing you get a group show in the summer. And the Mayfair space seems to be a little bit more fixated on older artists. Wow, you've got some big chunky names in there.
Yeah.
And then the Wharf Row space, which is double floored and huge, has some abstract paintings that are almost turning into the sculptural, as well as a lot of more contemporary artists.
I mean, that's a huge space to fill.
It's chunky.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, for me, it's what's kind of exciting is looking at this. They're all women artists, and a lot of them were
Is this all contemporary, or is this modern contemporary?
It's everything. It's like, okay. It's, let's say, like 80 years, I think the specific year number of actually going back to constructivists. So it's another kind of century of abstract painting, but done by all female artists. And what's so interesting is, A, lots of the old ones are amazing. There are artists that you wouldn't necessarily have seen. That, for me, like a specific interesting corner was taking Helen Frankenthaler, Betty Parsons, who was a gallerist at the time and making work on the side and not showing it, but it showed a lot of the ABEX artists, and Lee Krasner. And they're basically a trio of like the female ABEX.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
It's really interesting seeing like female artists, better known as being supporters, girlfriends of, surrounding by big male artists, getting proper attention.
Nice.
And the work is good.
There was a bit of that in the Tate show of Mrs. Moholy-Nagy,
yeah,
who kind of pushed her husband into realms that he wouldn't have otherwise sort of seen.
She developed the practices.
Yeah, right.
And he ran with it.
Yeah.
I mean,
basically,
this is kind of like a general thing throughout art history that's being reevaluated across the board, the idea of the invisible woman being given a proper amount of attention.
Yeah.
And this show does it really nicely while also placing in a large number of more contemporary artists working with abstraction.
Just on that, does that seem like it needs to be relevant? We've got Victoria Miro, a fantastic dealer of note and sponsor of amazing talents of all colours and creeds and all the rest of it.
And a lot of paint.
But does this show need to make that point? Does it make that point, or does it just happen? I mean, there is obviously a point to collecting 80 abstract works by female artists in two big galleries in the capital city. Is it making an objective comment on that, or is it rolling with it?
It doesn't necessarily have to have been by female artists. And if you look at the work, there's nothing obviously feminine or female or gendered in the work itself. It really is just a big, fat, abstract painting show, which is wonderful. Abstract painting's very in. People have a lot of trust in the abstract. For some reason, it feels very solid for collectors in the past 5 years. You've seen a real resurgence. What's interesting is seeing the lineage of something and influences between artists. Not all the paintings are good. Some of the paintings are incredible. Some pieces are works on paper. You'll have like big South American artists you wouldn't, you know, would have seen, British artists, American, like a real breadth of an international exploration of what a medium can be.
Yeah.
So you could have shoved a couple of token men in there and not even have said that it's about female artists.
Yeah.
And maybe that would have been better. Maybe we don't need to like mention the gender so much. But it's an interest. I mean, the work's just good.
Francesca, thanks for talking us through Surface Work. It's at Victoria Miro's two spaces in London. It's on now and it's on until the 16th of June. We're going now, a hop and a skip and a jump to the Photographer's Gallery. Kathleen, this is called Work in Process.
Yes. This is a small exhibition in the Print Sales Gallery, but it's reflecting what the entire gallery is doing throughout the building through the summer. It very much is the summer of women, what's happening at Victoria Miro, what's happening at Photographer's Gallery. I think it's just a reflection of the zeitgeist and what we're talking about right now as a bigger social issue. But they are focusing specifically on contemporary women, female photographers. This exhibition is about process-based practices. So it's about those artists that are taking just traditional, really fundamental, basic photographic concepts and turning it on its head and really playing with the surface of the image, so adding back in the artist's hand. And some could even say it would be traditional craft making or things that would be considered more women's arts or folk art rather than what we would put in the context of sort of highbrow, what you would see in a museum setting or happening at auction. So,
which is an amazing thing in itself for that difference to exist or to be perceived to exist.
Yes. Some of the works reminded me a little bit of, what was it, White Cube a couple years ago that showed the G's Bend quilts, which are amazing pieces of artwork, but they've never been elevated to a high fine art just because of the very nature of what they are. You've got an amazing artist called Julie Coburn, who is using found photographs and then reinventing them by hand embroidery and putting playful color onto the surface of the work. And people love these. They respond to them. It changes the object from what it originally was meant to be, whatever it was meant to be, into something completely different. So she's reinventing it. She's not taking a photograph herself. She's just challenging an idea of what could happen within that image and within that frame by adding her own hand back in. You've got artist Liz Nielsen, who's actually one of Black Box Project's artists.
And this is photogram.
These are all photograms, yeah. But she is pioneering. There's a lot of people doing this, but she's the only one that's really cracked the nut, as far as I'm concerned, of the color photogram. So all of this is happening in literally a dark room, not a processed dark room, but a dark room where she's playing with light and objects and exposures, and sometimes up to 60 or 70 different exposures on one sheet of paper, and then taking it and printing it by hand in a color processing center. And they focus on her work. And she's really making waves at the moment because they're these two-dimensional piece of paper that should be quite flat. Normally, there is layering in photograms, but they're quite flat
in
nature.
These things are very sculptural and kind of textured.
But these have depth. They have texture. The different saturations of color that she's able to get. There's something in between, like a real scientific process and understanding of what light and color do with those chemicals, and also a little bit of magic and alchemy that she's working with. But it does speak back to what Man Ray was doing when he first made a photogram or a rayogram, because why wouldn't you name it after yourself?
I certainly would.
Yeah, there you go. But it's talking back to some of these fundamental processes that really define the concept of abstraction, and she's taking it and pushing it even a little bit further in a much more contemporary way, because it's looking at a lot of the colors that you would see being used in more contemporary artwork and color theory as well.
But isn't it interesting that both these shows are talking about process? And if I'm going to look at this from an outsider point and say, well, why are we looking at the idea of the hand? We really want to see the hand's insertion of something. And for me, that goes back again to our interaction with technology and this screen-based existence and this idea of techno-photography that actually, maybe that's why The Last Room didn't work at the Tate as an add-on, because really we want to feel, even in the photographic, that the hand's been prodding at something.
Yeah.
We want to feel the fingers.
I feel like with Corey Archangel or something like that, with internet art, you can see his intervention in stuff, and it's kind of the witty intervention of the artist, right? I mean, it's necessary for me to see that anyway, to get an idea of how the artist changes something from one thing to another thing,
exactly.
I suppose, right?
Exactly.
So what do we think? So it's called Work in Process, the show at the Photographer's Gallery. Do we see that? Do we see a little bit of the light shining in upon the magic trick?
I think you do see a little bit. It's a small show. It's in the print sales gallery. It's not in one of the larger upstairs, grander rooms, you know, that get the incredible catalog and wall text that go along with it. It is a small glimpse into some of the works that contemporary artists are doing now. And these are artists that the Photographer's Gallery supports, that they stand behind, and we'll continue to see them showcased in their spaces, perhaps in the upstairs galleries later. But I think it's an interesting conversation, and it's a fun, nice, lovely show that you can go and explore and learn and still be challenged to some extent, but without having to dedicate your entire day, because it is summer and we want to be outside and enjoy the sunshine a little bit.
That's Kathleen's that's Kathleen's warning about the abstract photography show at the Tate, where she sits wearing a cushion.
Yes, and a duvet, maybe.
And go on a rainy day.
Yes, go on a rainy day.
There is a lot to learn. Thank you both so much for your wit and wisdom taking us through these three shows. Sadly, that's all we've got time for today. Shape of Light, 100 Years of Photography and Abstract Art is on at Tate Modern until the 14th of October. Surface Work is on at Victoria Mirror until the 16th of June, and Work in Process can be seen at the Photographer's Gallery until the 9th of June. Thanks to my guests today, Kathleen Fox-Davies and Francesca Gavin, and to my producer, Holly Fisher, of course. We'll be back at the same time next week. For the time being, I've been Robert Bound, and thank you very much for tuning in.